KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have 9 degrees above your current temperature. Look for sunny skies today and a high near 34. Wind chill values could be as low as 5 with west winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest news here on KJAN. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports 2 arrests on New Year's Day, one of which included a short chase. At 3:28 a.m., deputies arrested 17-year-old Dalton Scott Gibson of Elliott following a short motor vehicle pursuit that started 3/4 of a mile east of H Avenue and 110th Street in Montgomery County and ended in the 1,000 block of I Avenue just west of Elliott. Gibson was charged with speed by radar, failure to yield to an emergency vehicle, failure to maintain control, disorderly conduct, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Gibson was processed and released to a parent, and further charges are pending. Also yesterday at 12:45 a.m., Montgomery County Sheriff's officials arrested 16-year-old Austin Dallas Houston of Stanton for OWI first offense following a traffic stop. Houston was stopped at the intersection of Broad Avenue and Center Street in Stanton and was processed and released to a parent. The Red Oak Police Department reports the arrest of a Red Oak man on a valid Nottoway County, Missouri warrant early this morning. At 3:32 a.m., officers arrested 34-year-old Christopher Michael Lawrence in the 400 block of East Market Street in Red Oak on a valid Nottoway County, Missouri warrant for failure to appear on the charge of operating a vehicle on a highway without valid driver's license, first offense. Lawrence was taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on $149 cash bond. A March trial has been scheduled for a 21-year-old Council Bluffs man accused of abusing a baby. Rodney Weatherwax has pled not guilty to child endangerment, abandonment of a dependent person, and 2 counts of assault. The Daily Nonpareil reports his trial has been set to begin on March the 8th. A court document says Weatherwax injured the baby at least 3 times between September 1st and November 30th. The 5-month-old child suffered at least 20 fractures. The child's mother told doctors that Weatherwax punched the child in the face. Des Moines police say witnesses falsely reported how a teenage boy got shot in the chest. Police say witnesses initially said Thursday that the boy had gone to their house saying he'd been shot and needed help. They took him to a hospital for treatment of wound. He's expected to survive. Police say investigators have since determined that the 15-year-old boy was shot at the house. Another 15-year-old boy who was there has been taken into custody for referral to juvenile authorities on a charge of reckless use of a firearm. Police declined to release more information about that shooting. The Cass and Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold their annual organizational administrative meetings on Monday morning in Atlantic and Greenfield, respectively. In Atlantic, the Cass County Board will gather at 8:30 a.m. in their courthouse boardroom to elect their chairman and vice chairman, as well as appoint board members to serve on numerous county committees and commissions. They'll also make any first-of-the-year wage adjustments, if any, and set the holiday schedule, as well as mileage reimbursement rate for employees and for sheriff's civil processing. In Greenfield, the Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet at the courthouse beginning at 9 a.m. They'll also elect a chairman and vice chairman, approve a master matrix resolution for livestock confinement facilities, and conduct other administrative matters, including committee commission appointments. At 9:20 a.m., Adair County Attorney Clint Height will report on and discuss the Adair County Tourism. A public hearing will be held at 9:30 on Monday on an Adair County Fiscal Year 2016 budget amendment, followed by a resolution to approve the amendment and an appropriations resolution. And at 10 a.m., the Adair County Supervisors will consider a Compensation Board recommendation for fiscal year 2017, as well as consider fiscal year 2017 hourly wage increase for full and part-time staff. Officials with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources are calling on the public's help in bringing illegal hunters to justice. The DNR's Mick Klimisrud says people are tracking deer and other animals from their vehicles and communicating with other hunters by cell phone.
This type of activity has taken hold in certain parts of certain counties in western and southwestern Iowa, and our officers are aware of it, and it's something that we don't like to see.
Recently, the DNR charged 3 men with multiple hunting violations in Cass and Audubon counties. The men from Adair, Stewart, and Denison are accused of illegally shooting two buck deer.
We think we've got one of the most valuable natural resources in our deer herd. It's world-renowned, and people come from all over the country and the world to hunt our deer, and we want them to do it by the rules. And there's rules that we have set up that says you can't, you know, use vehicles and two-way radios to pursue deer.
The investigation into the illegal activity in Cass and Audubon counties was launched after the DNR received calls from the public. The three men charged in the case are scheduled to make their initial court appearance on January 7th.
This type of activity, which is using a vehicle and two-way communications to pursue deer, is a problem that we have in certain areas of southwest and western Iowa.
In other news, the University of Iowa's head football coach remains atop the list of state's highest paid employees. Database information provided by the state shows that Kirk Ferentz made almost $4 million in the fiscal year ending June 30th. The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa State head basketball coach Fred Hoiberg made $2.1 million over the same period. He's since moved on. In third place on the list is Iowa State football coach Paul Rhodes at $1.85 million. He was fired in November. The highest paid person on the list who isn't a coach is Kenneth Cates, chief executive officer of the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. He was paid more than $1.6 million in fiscal year 2015. An Iowa State University study finds parents can help to influence their children and prevent substance abuse, but they have to go about it a certain way. Thomas Schofield, an ISU professor of human development, says parents likely shouldn't tell stories about their youthful mistakes and experiences when experimenting with drugs or alcohol, as the right message may not get through to a child.
When parents think that they're connecting with their children and reducing drug use by talking about their own drug use, or, well, when I was a teenager and I drank, actually what the children hear is that it's normative and that it's okay.
Schofield's survey focused on the behavior of nearly 675 students in grades 5 through 7, an age range that's considered a starting point for alcohol, tobacco, and drug use. He says the research shows parents can reduce substance abuse risk by maintaining a healthy and open relationship with their children.
Parents do want to be sending very clear signals to the kids that that substance use is something that they're not okay with, but it goes much beyond that. This isn't a situation where you can simply tell your children no. It's much more about having a solid relationship with the child.
Schofield says it's up to the parents to be good role models in preventing substance abuse.
We care about the opinion of people that we love and feel attached to. And so that's what parents that's where their arsenal really lies, is having the relationship with the child and using that relationship to reinforce that, hey, this behavior is not something that we approve of. And it's that connection the child feels with the parent that's going to make the parent's opinion matter.
Schofield worked on the study with two colleagues from the University of California in Davis. The research is published in the Journal of Family Psychology, while the complete report can be found in the latest issue of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. That's a look at news. Now taking a look here this morning at your funeral announcements. Mary Stender, age 72, of Messina, died Wednesday at Bellevue Medical Center in Bellevue, Nebraska. A funeral mass for Mary Stender will be held today at 10 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home Messina has arrangements. Lee K. Davis, age 58, of Carroll, died Tuesday at the Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Lee Davis will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Carroll. O.D. Twitt Funeral Home in Carroll has arrangements. Elizabeth Betty Opperman, age 87, of Manning, died Monday at Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Betty Opperman will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the O.D. Funeral Home in Manning. Albert L. Peterson, age 70, of Urbandale, formerly of Adair, died December 18th at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. A memorial service for Albert Peterson will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Canby Friends Church in Canby. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Adair has arrangements. Helen Means, age 97, of Fontenelle, died December 26th at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Helen Means will be held today at 11:30 a.m. at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Lee M. Thompson, age 83, of Exira, died December 26th in Atlantic Specialty Care. Services for Lee Thompson will be held today at 2 p.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Lucille Helen Christensen, age 91, of Olwine, formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Olwine Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Lucille Christensen will be held today at 2:30 p.m. in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Carl R. Kemp, age 45, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at home. Memorial service for Carl Kemp will be held Monday at 2 p.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Donald R. Hargens, age 96, of Griswold, passed away on Friday at the Griswold Care Center in Griswold. And funeral services for Donald R. Hargens are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. And David Dwayne Kirshner, age 51, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at home. Services for David Kirshner are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.